All right. Okay. So we're going to go to Galatians chapter 5. Everybody going to go there with me? You guys, a bunch of people you came in this morning. Galatians chapter 5. When you get there, say amen. If you're not going there, say forget about it. Oh, there's only one person this morning. One person said forget about it. And it has to be my kid. Like, really. Dan, you just be quiet. All right, so Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. I'm going to start out by reading something to you really quickly. Found in John, it's John chapter 3, verse 16, before we get into Galatians 5. And first of all, before I get started, I want to say thank you to everybody who prayed for me for surgery and all that stuff. Everything's great. I'm feeling okay to a degree, but I'm good. Amen, but thank you. John 3, 16. And I'm reading from the Passion Translation. It says this, "For here is the way God loved the world. He gave His only, unique Son as a gift. So now everyone who believes in Him will never perish, but experience everlasting life." Now, I want to take a minute. Over the last couple of weeks, some of the messages I've been preaching and teaching on, God's really been tying a lot of this stuff together, and I want to take just a few minutes and kind of talk about this for a minute, because we all have a sense of longing to belong somewhere, right? Like, you know, whether it's our friend groups, our peers, you know, for you kids in the room, teenagers in the room, you know, for your peers, you want to belong to a certain group or just have a sense of belonging. You want to be loved, right? Well, when you look at that word perish, okay, it means to be lost. So in order to be lost, you have to belong somewhere first, okay? So I want to start there by telling you this, is that from the very beginning, the Bible talks about that Jesus knew us before we were even formed in our mother's womb, right? He knew us, He shaped us, He did all these different things. So we belong to Him even before any of the dysfunction and the chaos and the disobedience or the sin that we say that we categorize as sin and stuff that we found ourselves in. Now, here's the cool part about all this, right? Is that God loved us so much that before He died on the cross, even in the midst of all that stuff, in the midst of all the things that we would consider to be bad, right, or sinful, He still loved us. And He still said this, "I love you so much, and I'm still going to send my Son to die on the cross for you, even though you're a mess." So when we say shall not perish, it means won't be lost, right? So we're going to be found, which means really, in essence, is this, is that you never have to worry about not belonging anywhere, because there's someone in heaven who is encouraging you, who is rooting you on, who loves you unconditionally, that says, "I want you to make it. You are successful, that I've made you the head and not the tail. I set you above and not beneath. Are you getting the picture? Like, I've made you the lender and not the borrower." He said all those things about you, even in the midst of all your mess. And He goes, "That's the things that I have for you." That's what I love about Jeremiah 29 and 11 when it says this, that "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." That is what He has for you. Your past or your present isn't where you're going to be at in your future. We have to understand that when God whispers, right, when the Holy Spirit whispers to us, right, He speaks to us where we are, but there's a longing or a drawing to where we ought to be. Does that make sense? He doesn't look at us from afar off and say, "Well, you're in a mess right now in the midst of all this chaos and dysfunction that you have going on in your life, and I can't use you right now for the moment, or I can't speak to you, or I can't spend time with you, or I can't come walk with you, Adam, now that you know you're naked, now you know that all these different things are going on in your life and stuff. You have to cover yourself with fig leaves just because you have to do that. Adam, I'm not going to discard you. I'm not going to walk away from you. I'm still going to show up and walk with you on a daily basis." So when we talk about, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life, that's what He was talking about. He loved us so much that He gave the most precious gift that anybody can give. So with that gift of Christ comes freedom. And this is what Galatians chapter 5 is all about. It's about living a life of freedom. So we're going to start with verse 1 and we're going to go through the Galatians 5. Can we do that? All right, perfect. So a life of freedom. Let's start with verse 1. Again, from the Passion Translation, it says, "At last," so Paul says, "At last, we have freedom, for Christ has set us free. We must always cherish this truth and firmly refuse to go back into the bondage of our past." Now, I hit on some of this a couple, like last Sunday at my mother's church a little bit, but we're going to dive into this a little bit more detail. So think about this. Firmly refuse to go back into the bondage of your past. Now, the scripture says this, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, right? There's freedom. Okay? Now, when you look at that, this is my interpretation. This is not some theologian. I'm not a theologian. I'm just a normal guy that God likes to hang around sometimes, so it's pretty cool, right? But here's the cool part about this, is that where the Spirit of the Lord is Lord in your life, there's freedom. See, He can be Lord over your finances, but He may not be Lord over your healing. Okay? Because why? We have enough faith sometimes, right? The Bible says we have a grain of a mustard seed, we can move a mountain, tell it to be cast into the sea, and it can be done, right? This is a grain, faith of a grain of a mustard, which isn't very big. We have that a measure of faith sometimes when it comes to our finances or to our healing, but for other areas of our lives, we don't have the faith to do it. So wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. There's complete freedom. It doesn't have to be categorized into healing or to finances or restoration or reconciliation with relationships. Wherever He's at in your life, right, there should be freedom. And Paul's telling them, look, don't go back into the bondage of your past. Don't go back into the old way of thinking and doing things. Don't get set up in your agendas. Don't get caught up in doctrine. Just understand that Jesus is perfect theology. He came and died on the cross for you so you can have complete freedom. You don't have to worry about all the different things you've done in your past because He has a better future for you. Listen, we do not let religion, this is my interpretation of this, Christ is really what defines our faith. Nothing else does. Do not let religion trip you up again and harness you into a system of rules and obligations. Remember, that's that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Doing things over. Got to do things. I got to produce. I got to perform. I got to do these things. Remember what Apostle says. Whatever you birth out of devotion will last. Whatever you birth out of devotion will last. Whatever you birth on your own, you have to sustain in your own efforts. And then that's where we get into the systems of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thinking. Listen, through the death and resurrection of Jesus, your relationship with the Father has been completely restored. Do you understand that? It's been completely restored. You don't never have to hide yourself ever again to go to talk to God. Like, religion will beat you up and say, well, you didn't pray enough today, so I guess you can't go to church on Sunday or Wednesday to Bible study. You know, I love what Mark Castro said last night. You know, you had the little lady in the middle of church just standing up and start prophesying and speaking in tongues and wants to bring guilt and shame and condemnation to somebody, but the Holy Spirit never embarrasses anybody. Right? Listen, you have to get past your feelings because the kingdom of heaven is not built on emotion. It's built on choices. You have to choose to walk into your freedom. Christ died for you. We read that, right, in John 3:16. Paul tells us, don't go back into the bondage of your past. It's a choice that you have to make. But we allow our emotions and our feelings and the things that go on in our lives to really just control how we view God and how we think God views us. Listen, don't pick up what God has overthrown in your past. Whatever He's overthrown in your life, whatever He's come that brought freedom to you, don't pick it back up again. It's a choice. But again, let me tell you this. This is what happens. We're creatures of habit. When something goes wrong in our life, we can have, this is where addicts have a hard time overcoming addiction sometimes, is because everything's going great. Boom. Things are going good. We're going to A to B to C to D. We're just moving our way up the chain, man, and getting better every single day. And all of a sudden, man, there's a bad thing that happens and we relapse. Because why? Because of the sin consciousness that happened in the beginning, in the Garden of Eden, what we tend to do sometimes is we tend to go back to what feels comfortable. See, we haven't gotten comfortable with Jesus hanging around us as we should, or us being in proximity with the Father like we should. That hasn't become a habit because we don't feel good about that on a consistent basis because we allow guilt and shame and condemnation come in to keep us from making that the everyday normal life for us. And so again, so what do? We settle. We go back into the bondage of our past and we go back in. That's what happens. It's human nature. We respond to negative things more than we do positive things. So he says, don't pick it up. Don't pick up what God has already overthrown in your life. Here's the unique thing about where you're at right now in this moment. God wants to redirect your present and shift your future. Right now, where you're at. Let me ask you an honest question this morning. Everybody in the room, teenagers, all kids, everybody. Are you happy with where you're at right now in your life? If not, There is a measure of love that needs to come into your life in this moment to reshift your present and redirect your future and where you're going. Listen, you can either, here's your choice. Remember, it's not emotion. You can either stay in the place of destruction or step into the light of your promise of beloved identity. You can stay in the chaos and dysfunction if you want to, or you can make a choice and step into beloved identity and understand that your Father loves you, right? That you are His most prized possession, that you are His inheritance, you are His reward. There's two different ends of the spectrum here. Listen, when you hold on to the idols of your past, here's what happens. They will contaminate your future. Don't hold on to the places that the Father has overthrown. No matter how bruised, no matter how messed up, no matter how crazy your past may have been, your past is not the indication of the possibilities of your future. I don't care about what happened. I don't care if you were in prison. I don't care if you were in jail and stuff like that. That is not an indication of where you're heading. No matter what's happened in your life, it's not an indication of the possibilities of your future. And it's not an indication of how much your Father loves you either. Because He loved you when you were in prison, and He loves you when you're out of prison. The measure of love never changes. No matter what you do in your life, no matter where you find yourself, mess you're in, He loved you just as much as in the mess that He loves you now, that He loved you in the very beginning, that He will love you until the very end. His measure of love never changes. Listen, go to verse 2. I, Paul, tell you, if you think there is benefit in circumcision and Jewish regulations, then you're acting as though Christ is not enough. I say it again empathetically. If you let yourselves be circumcised, you're obliged to fulfill every single one of the commandments and regulations of the law. Right? Verse 4. If you want to be made right with God by fulfilling the obligations of the law, you have cut off more than your flesh. You have cut yourselves off from Christ and have fallen away from the revelation of grace. What is the revelation of grace? It's unmeasured or undeserved love and favor. It's this. What is the message of grace? That there is nothing that you could ever do that could separate you from your Father. There's nothing that you could ever do, that anybody could ever say about you, or anything that you could ever possibly conjure up in that carnal mind of yours that you could ever do that would ever separate you from God. Nothing in the cosmos will ever change His mind about you. That's what it means. And listen to this. Law righteousness has nothing in common with the grace righteousness that I'm talking about. Until you understand the redemptive side of grace, you'll never fully walk into the unmerited favor side of grace. What are you talking about, Pastor? Until you fully understand how loved you really are by your Father, you will never walk into the favor, full favor side of what grace has to offer. What is that full favor side? Is this? When I understand I'm loved, I understand that I deserve the very best that the kingdom has to offer. I understand that I'm a joint heir, right? And that I'm a child or a son of God, and you're a daughter of God or a son of God, right? That I am His son and His daughter. And I am, whatever is in heaven, I have rightful access to. Because I understand that because I'm loved. Now I can receive the very reward in heaven and the very gifts and things that heaven has to offer. This is why Jesus prayed, you know, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is heaven on earth. I understand that, and I can bring my measure of heaven to earth when I fully understand I'm loved. But when I struggle with it, I may not be good enough, or I may not be worthy enough, or I didn't pray enough, or I didn't read enough, or I didn't study enough, or I may have smart mouthed somebody the other day, or I may have talked bad about somebody. When I allow those things to come in, I don't understand the fullness of the redemptive side of what grace has to offer, so I'll never fully see myself deserving of the unmerited favor side of what grace has to offer. Verse 5. But we have true hope that comes from being made right with God. And by the Spirit, we wait eagerly for this hope. When you're joined to the Anointed One, circumcision and religious obligations can benefit you nothing. Right? All that matters now is living in the faith that works and expresses itself through love. What God believes about you should be your exclusive reference to everything that you do. It should be the exclusive reference. Because here's the reality of it. I'll fail you. Your husband or your wife will fail you. Your aunts and uncles and grandparents, your family in essence will fail you. Friends will fail you. Your job will fail you. So Christ has to be the exclusive reference on how you view yourself. Not your emotions or what everybody else says. Don't buy into the false beliefs and opinions of everybody else. Listen, God believes, here's what God believes. God believes, the Father believes that we are fully represented in Christ, which takes duty, obligation, acts, and flesh out of the equation. It's the love that fuels belief that sets faith in motion. And here's the cool part. When you understand how loved you are, and that you are love in essence, right? You are love. I can talk about 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and how God is love. And if we are made in the image of God, then we are love. I can talk about that and just really go into detail about that. But I'm just going to tell you right now that you're a being of love. How can, I love the fact that I can be loved so much that I can share the love that the Father has for me. What do you mean, Pastor? It's easy when I understand how loved I am. It's easy for me to behave. People think sometimes that the message of beloved identity, the message of grace, and where we're heading and where we're walking into in this very moment, that it's just some, it gives everybody permission to do whatever they want to. Well, Paul says this. Paul says it simple. He says everything is permissible, but not all things are beneficial. This is where you have to work out your own salvation, right? You work out your own salvation. But here's the reality of it. When I understand how loved I am, I'll never do anything to jeopardize that relationship or that love. Now, is there anything I can do that can ever separate me from that? No. But if I want to draw in that proximity to the Father, that's where I always want to be. So if my Father is always here at the table, then I always want to have a seat at the table, and I'm not going to do anything in my life to jeopardize my seat at the table. But here's the reality of it. Even if you did do something to jeopardize it, He still says the seat's yours. That's the beauty of grace. Verse 7, it says, before you were led astray, you were so faithful. Who has deceived you so that you have turned away from what is right? Verse 8, the one who enfolded you into His grace is not behind this false teaching that you've embraced. Don't you know that when you allow even a little lie into your heart, it can permeate your entire belief system? Proverbs 4:23 says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Right? Think about this. God is not confused about you. So you don't have to be confused about yourself. Okay? You heard me talk about this last week, that He surnamed you, right? Surnamed is a hereditary name common to all members of a family. What does that mean? Jesus, on the day of His baptism, was called what? Beloved, all of heaven opened up and the Father declared over Jesus, He said, this is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. If Jesus is the first of many, as the Bible declares, then what does the Father see you as? He sees you just as He saw Jesus that day, as His beloved son and beloved daughter. Are you with me? Listen. Verse 9. Don't you know that if you allow even a little lie into your heart, it can permeate your entire belief system, right? As a man thinks in the heart, so is he. So it's impossible. It's impossible to hide the effect of the smallest amount of yeast. You bakers in here? I don't bake. But you know what I'm talking about, right? The process of fermentation is immediately triggered in most cases. Okay, here's what I want to get to. In this case, right, if you allow even the little lie into your heart, it can permeate your entire belief system. A little bit of legalism can corrupt a person's whole life, right? And a little bit of misidentification can corrupt or redirect a person's life. So if that is the case, what can a little bit of love do if you and I would decide to show up one day and just love everybody we come in contact with? What could love do? I love what Martin Luther says. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can drive out that. Only light. What is light? Light is love. What is the light that exhumates off the Father? It's the love that He has for the entire cosmos. Most importantly, it's the love that He has for you and I. Think about this. Let's go to verse, where I want to go. Go to verse 11. Let's go to verse 10. Paul says, deep in my heart, I have confidence that the Lord who lives in you, right, will bring you back around to the truth. Okay. So, what does Paul say? Where does he live? In you. Okay? In you. Deep in my heart, I have confidence that the Lord who lives in you will bring you back around to the truth. And he says, I'm convinced that those who trouble you, whoever they think they are, will bear the penalty. So this is where we talk about, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, right? If God be for you, who can be against you? All right? If God is for you, you don't have to worry about anything. What could we accomplish in this life if we knew that we had nothing to fear? People ask me all the time, like, why do you like jumping off cliffs? Why do you like doing all this crazy stuff? Because I don't care. Like, my life's in His hands. When it comes time for me to go, I guess I'm going. You can't live life in fear, because when you live life in fear, you allow the enemy, as John 10:10 says, to come in to kill, steal, and destroy. But when you live a life without fear, here's what happens. You have life more abundantly. Because you know there's... But imagine this. What could we accomplish if we knew there was nothing to fear? Verse 11. Dear friends, why do you think the religious system persecutes me? It is because I preach the message of being circumcised and keeping all the laws of Judaism? Not at all. Is there no longer any offense over the cross? To tell you the truth, I am so disgusted with all your agitators, I wish they would go even further and cut off their legalistic influence from your lives. Wow, how powerful is that? This is in verse 13. Beloved ones, God has called us to live a life of freedom. But don't view this wonderful freedom as an excuse to set up base of operations in the natural realm. Constantly love each other and be committed to serve one another. Verse 14. For all the law can be summarized in one grand statement. Demonstrate love to your neighbor, even as you care for and love yourself. So, verse 13. Beloved ones, God has called us to live a life of freedom. Don't view this wonderful freedom as an excuse to set up base of operations in the natural realm, right? Constantly love each other and be committed to serve one another. Your redeemed identity defines your freedom, and your freedom finds its most complete expression in love. Let me rephrase that again. Your redeemed identity in Christ defines your freedom. Remember, Christ has to be the exclusive reference point of how you view yourself. So your redeemed identity defines your freedom, and your freedom finds its most complete expression in love. Paul says this, as free as you are to the law, so now you are enslaved to love. You are free at last to live the life of your original design. Because of the cross and what happened at John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His unique Son, right? That whosoever believes shall not perish but have everlasting life, right? You can be found. You don't have to be lost anymore. You don't have to be a wanderer. You can just come on home. It's going to be okay. There's no mess. Nobody's going to judge you. Everybody's going to love you. It's going to be okay. Because of those things, you have finally have the freedom and the empowerment to live the life of your original design. Why wouldn't you want to be the very authentic person that God created you to be? Let me rephrase this for a second. Why do most of us live in comparison and not in authenticity? You know how easy it is for us to live our lives based comparing it to everybody else? Well, maybe this person has it more going on, or maybe this, or maybe this, or maybe that, or maybe this, or maybe this. Why doesn't God move for me that way? And why doesn't this? Why can't I live like that? Why blah, 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 blah. All these different things. It's craziness. It's craziness. It's crazy thinking. Again, our biggest enemy isn't the devil. He's been defeated. It's been done. It is finished. When Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished," and he cried it out, the enemy was defeated through the death, the resurrection, and the ascension of the Father. Like, to the Father. Like, he's been done. The biggest enemy we fight is ourselves. But you and I have permission. This is what the Father's telling you this morning. You and I have permission to live the life of our original design. I tell my kids in my business classes, I've been preparing lessons for my new teaching gig. I'm really excited about this, that I get to really speak to the next generation about being entrepreneurs and doing something different than a four-year education, right? Because I don't believe the lie anymore of going to school and getting good grades and getting a job and everything's going to be okay, right? It's not like that anymore. I want people to be able to think for themselves. I want people to be able to go in and say, look, you know what? If you really want to make an impact in this world, go be an entrepreneur. You can spend time with your family. You can create your own time. Listen, we have a choice in life. I was preparing a lesson for my first lecture, is what I call it. I'm an old man. My first lecture in my classroom on this Friday to my business foundations class is this. I'm going to tell them this. Do you realize that, you guys know who William Shakespeare is, right? Okay, wrote Romeo and Juliet. Okay, if you don't know who William Shakespeare is, son, you need to go back a couple grades. I'm just kidding, Connor. I love you. But think about this, right? Everybody loves William Shakespeare, right? And all these different, look, C.S. Lewis is another guy, right? Wrote all these great big pieces. All they did was live the life of their original design. You and I had the same access to the same alphabet. What they did was they decided not to settle. In the kingdom, you don't have to settle to be average. How do you know that, Pastor? Here's how I know that. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his what? His unique son." You and I are unique in our own special way. There are certain things that I love to do that I'm great at. There are certain things that Heather's good at and that she's good at that I'm not good at, right? All these different things. You have a choice to make. Let me put it this way, okay? Now, this is the business leadership side of me coming out for a second. Drop the spiritual side for a minute, okay? This is the business side of me. You have a choice in life right now. In this room, you have a choice. Teenagers, you have a choice. Either you can go out and help somebody else accomplish their dreams and become all the things they want to be, okay? Or you can make a choice today to go out and be everything that you are called to be and be the person who changed the world, right? Because here's the reality of the matter. When you give your life to Christ and you accept that beloved identity, that your Father loves you and all these different things I'm talking about this morning, here's what happens. Here's what you understand. That you were designed to stop plagues. That you were designed to part waters. That you were designed to raise the dead. You were designed to heal the sick. You understand those things because that is who you are. And to settle for anything less than that is a shame, because that's who your Father created you to be. I have given you freedom, he says, to live the life of your original design. And if I am in you, who can be against you? And when I tell you that whatever you put your hand to will prosper, it'll prosper. That I've made you the lender or not the borrower. You don't have to be the slave to somebody else's story. You can write your own story and go out and become everything that I've called you to be. The choice is yours. But your redeemed identity is what defines your freedom. Let's keep going. You guys liking this morning? Verse 16. I'm almost done, I promise. Pain medication's wearing off. I'm just kidding. Let me emphasize this, Paul says. As you yield to the dynamic life and power of the Holy Spirit, you will abandon the cravings of your self-life. Let me read that again to you. Let me emphasize this. As you yield to the dynamic life and power of the Holy Spirit, you will abandon the cravings of your self-life. When your self-life craves the things that offend the Holy Spirit, you hinder him from living free within you. And the Holy Spirit's intense cravings hinder your self-life from dominating you. So then, the two incompatible and conflicting forces within you are your self-life of the flesh and the new creation life of the Spirit. So, the Spirit is satisfied by the love law or the revelation of grace. But flesh craves, here's what the flesh does. The flesh craves to prove and to gratify itself through duty and obligation. This is where Mark Castro said last night that the biggest thing that we fight is ourselves. Right? It's not the enemy. It's not the devil, for crying out loud. Like, he's been defeated. Okay? We don't have to listen. You and I, here's the truth of the matter, okay? And like, I believe going out and laying hands on the sick, I believe that when demons manifest themselves, pray for those things and cast them out because you've been given power for that. But look, you and I were never made to wield a sword. You realize that? You and I were never made to fight a battle because the battle, the Bible says, belongs to the Lord. Now, that'll enter you into a revelation of peace and rest that'll transform your life because you don't have to fight. He's the one that fights for you. But think about this for a second, okay? The Spirit is satisfied by the love law, the revelation of grace, but the flesh craves to prove and gratify itself through duty and obligation. This is what happens to you and I. When we mess up, our flesh wants to prove itself. And what does that do to us? You're not worthy. Guilt, shame, condemnation comes in, right? I guarantee it, if we're all honest with ourselves, as much as I've been preaching this probably for the last 2 or 3 months, most of us in this room, a majority of us, I probably say 75% of us, still go home every single day and we fight guilt and shame and condemnation. You don't have to. You don't have to fight it. The battle belongs to the Lord. You need a measure of love in your life that's going to transform that even greater and give you a better revelation of who you really are. I want to read this part to you. Your self-life. It means this. It means the natural realm, right? Let me emphasize this. Let me rephrase this verse to you. Let me emphasize this, Paul says in verse 16. As you yield to the dynamic life and power of the Holy Spirit, you will abandon the cravings of the natural realm. The self-life or the natural realm. This is going to be another whole new teaching one day, but I'm just going to tell you this. You and I are not of this world. Everybody got quiet on me. I'm from eternity. I'm not from this world. I'm from the kingdom of heaven. That's where I'm from. And because I'm from the kingdom of heaven, that's why he called me an heir. And because I'm an heir, I have access to everything I have that's back in eternity right now, waiting in heaven. What does that mean? I can have healing now. I can be free from oppression. I can be free from depression. I don't have to worry about things because my Father's going to take care of me. Wherever I go, there can be manna on the ground. If I need water, I can split a rock, right? If I need food, I can just call the ravens to come down and feed me. Do you understand the thinking process of this? Like, when you understand how loved you are, nothing's impossible. We limit God by our traditions. We limit him because this. Oh, this is so good. At some point in your life, you have to get out of your carnal mind and let your spirit mind take over. You have to get out of your carnal mind. You can't see this through your carnal mind. Your carnal mind says it's impossible for a limb to grow. But your spiritual mind, your renewed mind, right? Your renewed mind says, yes, it's possible. See the difference? You got to get out of your carnal mind and start functioning in your renewed mind. See, when you start functioning in your renewed mind, this is where your thoughts are so important. This is why Proverbs says, 4:23 says, as a man thinks in his heart, right? So is he. Okay, your thought process makes a difference. Hey, if you continue to think you're a victim, if you continue to think that things are never going to be good and things are always going to be bad and all these things are going to happen, that's the life you're going to live. Because you begin to speak those things. The Bible says that there's life and death in the power of our tongue. Oh, that's a whole nother mess. Let's go to verse 17. When your self-life craves the things that offend the Holy Spirit, you hinder Him from living free within you, right? And the Holy Spirit's intense cravings hinder your self-life from dominating you. So then, the two incompatible and conflicting forces within you are your self-life of the flesh, which is a natural realm, or the new creation life of the Spirit, which is what? Your renewed mind, or your spiritual side, right? Listen, there are two opposing systems or forces of influence, right? There's two different separate mindsets, okay? Here's what you need to understand. And I need you to understand it with everything within you. Tattoo it on your forehead so you see it every day, right? Now you can get it on your teeth if you want to. You can put letters on your teeth. I don't care. Put it somewhere. The war is over and it's already been won. So why are you worrying? Why are you going around worrying, taking days and years off your life, thinking, oh, this battle's got to be won, or this battle's, listen, it's over. It is done. God's will is going to be done. And Romans 8:28 declares that everything works out to your good anyway, so why are you worrying? You don't have to worry about your kids being saved. You don't have to worry about your grandkids being saved. It is the promise from heaven, from the Father, that your entire household will be saved. Hold on to the promise. Don't worry. It's over. You have to begin to engage your thoughts on throne room realities. What is the engage your thoughts on throne room realities? What is that? Here's the reality. I'm saved. I'm loved. I'm good enough. I measure up. I can have this. I can have that. My Father loves me. My kids are going to be wealthy and healthy and saved. And they're going to live a life of freedom. I'm not bound by slaves. I'm not a slave anymore. I am a friend of God. I can draw close to Him. I can walk hand in hand with my Father, right? I can do all these things. That's the throne room realities. The throne room reality is this, is I am a whole person. I have been made whole. Not just part, but I've been made whole. You have to engage your thoughts with throne room realities. Go to verse 21. Promise I'm almost done. It says, let's start with verse 20. Or 19. We'll do 19. The behavior of the self-life is obvious, right? Sexual immorality, lustful thoughts, pornography, chasing after things instead of God, manipulating others, hatred of those who get in the way, right? Senseless arguments, resentment when others are favored, temper tantrums, Caitlin, anger quarrels. Wow. So much love for my daughter. It says being in love with your own opinions, right? Wow. Okay. Being envious of blessings of others, murder, uncontrolled addiction, wild parties, and all other similar behavior. You know where all these behaviors come from? They come from a longing to be loved. They come from a longing to be loved. Most people, how can I say this? Most people divert to those type of behaviors because there's a piece of love missing from their life. We'll look for satisfaction in other people because we haven't learned yet to love, to be loved by the Father, and having that be enough. I'm gonna bust your bubble this morning. I know some of you are already like, wow, Pastor's just like laying it on us this morning. But listen, you have to come into an agreement with the Father and understand that He has to be enough. He has to be enough. Or you'll go looking for other things to fill the voids. Your Father has to be enough. Teenagers, He has to be enough. You don't have to go looking for love in all the wrong places. I know that's a song, looking for love in all the wrong places, right? But you don't have to look for love in all the wrong places. He has to be enough. But because we don't see ourselves as enough, He'll never be enough in our eyes. So you have to begin to see yourself differently. All right, listen to this. Verse 21. The authority of the Christ life opposes and defeats the dominance of the flesh. What Christ did on the cross defeats the flesh, right? Remember, sin has to have a living, breathing body to find expression, right? Are you with me? Okay, the flesh has to be alive. Sin, right? You have to do something. Okay? Okay, you have to be alive. The Bible says this, that I am dead to sin. Sin can't find any living expression in your corpse. You're like, Pastor, like you're just out the wall. No, I'm telling you the truth. Sin doesn't have any power over you anymore because you are dead to it. Your body is a corpse to the flesh and to the carnal mind of things. But again, it's your choice. Your choice. Your choice. This is why the kingdom of heaven is not built on emotion. It's built on what? Choices. Right? Let's keep going. Paul says this. He says, haven't I already warned you that those who use their freedom for these things will not inherit the kingdom realm of God? Verse 22 through 23, listen what it says. But the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love in all its varied expressions. So, everything's going to fade away, the Bible says. Laying hands on the sick is going to fade away. Prophesying is going to fade away. All these giftings are going to fade away, but there's only one thing that's going to remain. And what did he say it was in Corinthians? Love. So, the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love in all its varied expressions. What is this varied expressions? It's this. Joy that overflows. Peace that subdues. Patience that endures. Kindness in action. A life full of virtue. Faith that prevails. Gentleness of heart and strength of spirit. Never let the law or duty or obligation above these qualities, for they are meant to be limitless. Wow. Listen, when we talk about this varied expression of love, here's what I need you to understand. That they are not fading, fragile emotions produced by willpower. This is the fruit of what you know in your spirit to be true about you. Right? That you have joy that overflows, you have a peace that subdues, that you have patience that endures, that you have a kindness that's in action, you have a life that's full of virtue, you have a faith that prevails, you have a gentleness of heart and a strength of spirit. That's what we know true to be about you. Fruit is the effortless, spontaneous expression of the character of the tree. Rest in the awareness and the assurance of who you really are. Divine love in all its varied expressions. If He is love and I am love, because I am in Him and He is in me, what are all my varied expressions? Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, all these different things, right? Verse 23. Listen to this, verse 23. I like this. Never set the law above these qualities, for they are meant to be limitless, right? I love this. Legalism can neither match nor contradict it. Here's the reality of it. You ready for this? You can write this down. Love doesn't compete with the law because it doesn't have to. Love does not compete with the law. Last but not least, I'm going to read you verse 26 and we're going to get out of here. So may we never be arrogant. Okay, verse 25, let's start there. If the Spirit is the source of our life, we must allow the Spirit to direct every aspect of our lives. So may we never be arrogant or look down on another. For each of us is an original. Each of us is an original. So stop comparing yourself. We must forsake all jealousy that diminishes the values of others. Comparison kills authenticity. Let me rephrase this. The law will kill your beloved identity. The law will kill your beloved identity. Today, I want you to understand that you have a life of freedom. And you have been given the empowerment to go out and live a life freedom of your original design. You know what I love about the kingdom? Here's what I love about the kingdom. There's all kinds of different people in the kingdom, right? White, yellow skin, brown, black, all these different people. Like tall, short, skinny, all these labels that we put on people, right? Fat, skinny, big, medium built, right? All these different things. Cool part about it is that God loves all of us the same. The love He has for me is the same love He has for someone that doesn't look like me. Right? That's the fun. Now, let me take it even a step further. God loves the murderer sitting there and the rapist sitting in prison just as much as He loves you. We don't want to hear that. He loves them just the same. We've all been given the opportunity. Again, it's not built on motions, right? It's built on choices. I'm going to say this and then we're going to pray. At some point, I pray for you that you fully get this revelation of this beloved identity, how much freedom there really is for you to really express yourself. I never, as your pastor and as your spiritual father, I never want to see you settle for anything less than the original intent which you were created to function. Never want to see it. It's okay if some of us are not doctors. It's okay if some of us are not preachers. It's okay if some of us are not pastors. It's okay for you to go be everything that you want to be. When you begin to stop chasing the things that catch your eye, you can start chasing the things that capture your heart. And because you are in devotion with the Father and proximity fixes everything, because you're in that proximity with the Father, the things that are in your heart, the things that you are passionate about, is the very things that He is very passionate about with you as well. And when you begin to start chasing those things that capture your heart, that's when you find that life of your freedom, of your live on your original intent. I spent most of my life chasing things, man, that I thought caught my eye. You realize, I'll tell you this, I'll be honest with you, like, I had this conversation with my mom. Like, when I first came here and stuff like this, no, it was with my dad. Sorry, it was my dad. Before he passed away, we were sitting in the tree stand the day before he passed away, and we were just talking about things, and I haven't shared this yet with anybody, but I'll share this with you guys now. We were talking, and I was like, Dad, you see, no, man, when I first moved to Toledo, living in the city, man, I said, I dreamt of having a big, massive church, like just this big, massive church. And I said, I really think God was going to do that for me. I really believe that. But I said, my heart has changed in this process, just to want nothing more but His presence. Because in that is when I find my true expression of who I am. And I never want to mask the real person, the real me, the real Anthony. I never want to mask that. And listen, I'm going to tell you, this journey we're on, this beloved identity, it's not for everybody. I tell you, you get in this wineskin, man, that you are loved unconditionally, it shakes the very foundations of religion. They get mad because now nobody can control you through fear and intimidation. Right? You're free. And that's how the Father designed you to be. He designed you to be free. He designed you to chase after the passions that He puts in your heart. And because when you begin to do those things, I'm telling you right now, when you begin to do that, your life will flip upside down and everything you thought that you ever wanted will possibly come true. But understand, completeness and wholeness is found in Him. And listen, in your life right now, teenagers, listen to me. In your life right now, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, the greatest accomplishment you will ever achieve is being able to host His presence. That's the greatest thing you'll ever be able to accomplish. That's more than trophies. That's more than championships. That's more than anything. Having the ability to be able to host His presence and having that encounter with the Father means everything. Wouldn't you agree with me this morning?